Today we're going to do a little bit of an unusual topic. I came across a question last week that someone had someone was taking a creative writing class in Columbia University. I think it was in Columbia, and one of the things that they had to do as part of the creative writing class was to go experience New York and see different things in New York as a way of getting their creative juices flowing to write. And the class was going on a trip to a number of places, including a palm reader. And the person wanted to know, are they allowed to go get their palm read, or is there some sort of isser of avodah zarah or kishuf or ma'onein or chukasakum, or you name it, what the issue might be. Or, for example, another case came up, someone told me about a fellow was going out on a date and he wanted to be creative in terms of what he was going to do on the date. So he thought it would be fun to go to a palm reader, to go on a date, to, you always go into one of these storefronts in Manhattan and you can get your palm read. Or, just a little bit of a different angle, sometimes people like to go to various mikubalim, and some of these mikubalim read your forehead, some of them read your ksuba, some of them read your mezuzah, some of them read your palm. So is that an issue? So the reason I want to talk about this is because I found it somewhat surprising how many Jewish sources there are to suggest that palm reading is a thing, that it's actually something that has value, that has some sort of meaning to it. Meaning the way the fellow in Columbia phrased the question is, obviously I know this is ridiculous and stupid, so can I go because I know it's ridiculous and stupid, and therefore I'm not putting any stock in it. Now the Zohar apparently has a discussion about palm reading, and he says that you can tell a person's nature by looking at seven different things: by his hair, his forehead, his eyes, his face, his lips, the lines on his hands, and his ears. And in fact, the Zohar explains, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to pick the members of the Sanhedrin, Vata Techsa Mikolam, Anshe Chayil, Yiri Elokim, Anshe Emes, Sone Beta, Moshe Rabbeinu had to choose people who were qualified to serve on the Sanhedrin. The Zohar writes, the way he was able to tell who's who was by reading their palms. That he was able to read their foreheads, he was able to read their palms, and he was able to see. But the Zohar goes on to say that, Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately knew a lot more from his nevuah than he knew from this skill of palm reading, but apparently it is a thing, the Zohar says. And the Zohar goes into detail and describes what the thick lines mean and the thin lines meaning and how they intersect and whatever the details are. But he says, when a person does tshuva, then he could change the lines, and he can change what that means for him and for his future. But it's not just the Zohar. The Ramban, in his commentary to the Torah, the Ramban writes that the Torah contains everything. Every type of chachma can be found in the Torah, including palm reading is one of the chachmas in the Torah for those who know how to find it. The Ramban in his Drashas Torah Hashem Tamima writes, "V'kol elu advar mechiyotzi behem chachmos yushanos amitios hein umekubalos biyad mekablei Torah." That these are true wisdoms and they are found amongst those who are mekabel the Torah. Ukshavadnu avdu chachmos yimadu v'nishra zichron b'shibush biyad muatim. But because we were exiled, so we lost this chachma, and now we have some remnant of it that's a little bit messed up in the hands of those who, of a select few people. So not really too many people know the depth of this chachma. Tradition even has that the Arizal was familiar with this chachma, but he felt it should be such a closely guarded secret, he wouldn't even teach it to Reb Chaim Vital. And even in Halacha, the Tur writes, in Or Chaim Simresh Sadiches, that there's a halacha that one is supposed to benefit from the Oraner by Avdallah. So the Torah writes over there that he saw that Nagu Arishonim lahabit b'sirtute ha-kapayim at sheyakir b'nehen. That when you hold your fingers up, not hold your fingers up to the candle, but hold your palms up to the candle to look at the lines on your palm. Why? Mipnei shein mitzuyos. Well, because they're always available to you. To look at the difference between two coins. You don't have coins in your pocket, hopefully, on Shabbos, but your hands are always with you, so you can look at your hands. But what was it specifically about the lines on your hands as opposed to the fingernails like we normally think of? V'shamanu mizikenim sha'omrim sheyesh b'sirtutei pisas hayad simon lizbarich bo. Because there are simanim of bracha that can be found in the scratches in the lines on a person's hand. On the other hand, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Parakir Aleph, Halacha Tezayin, has some very strong words about fortune-telling in general, and he says the reason the Torah asers fortune-telling and trying to predict the future is not because, it's some sort of chachma but it's just something we should stay away from. He says the Torah asks it because it's divrei sheker v'chazav, because it's stupidity, it's an absolute falsehood, there's nothing to any of these things. Anyone who believes that these things have some substance to it, avol haTorah asartan, it's just that the Torah forbids doing it, such a person is a fool and lacks any intelligence. And he is amongst those who are uneducated. But people who have wisdom and who have complete knowledge, all of these things that the Torah asks, these are not wise things. It's stupidity. And the masses, the stupid masses, tend to follow these things. And they set aside all the Darkei HaEmes and instead follow these silly, ridiculous things. And that's why the Torah says about these things, Tamim Tiyam Hashem El Kech, we follow Hashem. Now, he doesn't mention palm reading, but the Lech HaMishnah on the spot says, for example, someone tells you, Ani eros chabepas yad dvarim asidim lavo alecha, that I'll look at your palm and I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. So the Lech HaMishnah says that's one of the things the Rambam is referring to. So the Rambam seems to be on the other side of this issue, as one would have predicted, that we don't believe in such things. Now, what is it? And how could one believe in it? Doesn't it go against the concept of Bechira Chavshis, that I get to choose my own destiny, that a person, or Ein Mazel Yisrael, that a Jew gets to choose his own destiny? So Rav Sternbach has a tshuva in Tshuvas V'Hanhagos Chelek Dalid Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav, where he says, yeah, it's true, Ein Mazel Yisrael. What Ein Mazel Yisrael means is not that we don't have mazel. It means that we're not bound by our mazel, that we have the power to change our mazel. So one can believe that by looking at his the lines of his palm, they're able to figure out what he's destined to do, but we also believe that we can overpower that and we can change that. So it doesn't mean that it's silly. It could be that it's actually telling us something. It's just we're strong enough that we're able to overcome it. And the way it's explained in the Tshuvas HaSeilecha Rav, Rabbi Jonathan Ziering from Shivat Har Etzion showed me this tshuva. I was unaware of it in tshuva and brought this whole topic to my attention, really. In Tshuvas HaSeilech HaRav, he explains, Ein yedias kave kaf hayad kova'as mu'uma. Lo legabe apav shaladam v'lo legabe gorelo. He says, there is a thing, and the Zohar says and the Ramban says it, but you have to know what it's not. It's not something that's kovea who you are or what will be with you. It identifies where you are right now. The way someone who believes in this stuff explained it to me, he said it's like a blood test. When you take a blood test, it doesn't necessarily determine whether you're going to be cured from your illness, what your future is going to be. It tells you where you are right now. It's diagnostic. And that's the way to understand. So that's what the Tshuvas HaSeilecha Rav says. It's diagnostic. That through the looking at the lines of that, they can tell where you are. Is it a problem of Chukas Akum? So the Tshuvas HaSeilecha Rav writes, and I would think that this makes a lot of sense, that it's only a violation of Chukas Akum when something is based in Avodah Zarah. So a lot of the stargazing things and things like that are based in sources of Avodah Zarah. But this, apparently, it's Yisodus Barei Kodesh, that it's based in sources of Kedusha and the Zohar and the Ramban. These are things beyond our comprehension. But if it's not based in Avodah Zarah, it's sort of like a very, very watered down form of something that existed. So the Chorah would not be a violation of Chukas Akum. So the attitudes toward this vary amongst the poskim, from somewhat against it to very against it. But you know, it doesn't seem to be anyone that really supports it. Rav Schechter was asked by the fellow going on a date whether he can go to a palm reader. He said, no, you're not supposed to do this based on the Rambam. And the Rambam says that it's a davar maguna to do things like this, and it's beneath us to do things like this. And apparently he held that way, even though the guy doesn't really believe that the gypsy who's reading his palm really knows anything. He doesn't think that it has any value. Rav Shach, in a letter, strongly discouraged it also, and says we rely on Hashem only. And Rav Shach also seemed to dismiss the whole endeavor. In the Tshuvas HaSeilecha Rav, Simen Nun Vav, however, he says it's not a good idea because it would get people depressed. Knowing what the future holds in store for them would get people depressed and then give up hope. And we know that Tefillah can do anything and Tshuva can do anything and we can overpower. So he says it's not a good idea. he can't say Asur. He says, I'm not going to say that it's Asur, just a bad idea. Rav Sternbach also, in his tshuva, says it could lead to a Chilul Hashem, because you have someone who comes in and he's advertised as a tzaddik and a mekubal and this, and he's going to tell you what's going to be, and then it doesn't come to be, and it shatters people, it destroys their emunah and their bitachon, so it's not a good idea. But also, he says, you can't stop someone who's doing it, because it's not technically Asur. So you can't make such a big macha that it's such a big problem. But of course, it's always wise to remember that Tam Tiyayim Hashem Elokecha is the proper path that a Jew is supposed to take. We're supposed to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if there were Chachma in it, and even if there were people today who were able to know that Chachma, which we don't necessarily believe that such a thing exists. A, we can't necessarily identify who those people are, and B, it's not necessarily our job to find these answers. Even if so, this guy, he predicted things, and he knew things, and he has a track record, I could tell you stories, and I heard stories. Fine, let's say that's all true. And all those stories are true. Great, still not my job as a Jew to do that. That's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to serve Hashem. I'm not supposed to be looking for all these, for all the future and for everything else that someone could tell me. He could tell me all the deep, darkest secrets. Ramchal writes in Derech Hashem. Sometimes Hashem gives power to people who don't deserve it. And even if he does deserve it, maybe I don't deserve to hear about it. I'm not supposed to be listening to this. I'm supposed to be serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Yaakov Hillel has a book. He's one of the most, I guess what they call down-to-earth mekubalim, ever. Rabbi Yaakov Hillel has a book where he describes, he points out that, you know, the Baba Sali was an Av Beis Din and wrote Sfarim and Chosh Mishpah till he was 70 years old. He didn't just become the Baba Sali. He says this, every 18-year-old kid decides I'm a Baba something, a Baba this and a Baba that, you know, is not necessarily someone who's going to be, who deserves to be a Mekubal. He says the best thing to do if a Mekubal comes to your town and tells you that he's going to read your Ksuba, your Mezuzah, your palm, your forehead, or whatever, and tell you all the future. So you should first invite him to give a shir in the Kola, in the local Kola in town. The best lomdim, let him say a nice shir. And if he says no, it means he probably can't do it, and then no one should go to him. That's how Rabbi Yaakov Hillel suggests. As Rav Sternbach writes, in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, some of these people should not be called mikubalim, they should be called mikablim, because they receive a lot of money, but they are not, they're not necessarily genuine mikubalim. So it's important to be aware of these things, and that a person should not resort to these kinds of things. So is it asur for the kid in the creative writing class? So I had a little bit of a dispute with Rabbi Ziering about this. He thought it was asur. He said he thought Rav Shachter would say it's asur. Maybe Rav Shachter does say it's asur. I don't know. I wasn't sure that it was asur. It just seemed like, I don't know, if you don't believe in it, certainly, and you wouldn't believe any of these people know what they're doing. So I wouldn't think that that it would necessarily be us, but again, a very silly thing to do. So our job as Jews, in general, is we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we daven to Hashem, tamim tiyah im Hashem Elokecha.